right now on VFNT. We're talking about the Charismatic Renewal Movement. And also, guess what? We have one of the leaders, Charles Simpson, continuing in his interview, letting us know some things that took place. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, how he's the only one that changes heart. We're going to talk about the manifested sons of God. What was that? Talking about never dying. We'll find out about a little bit about that. Also, the church multicultural aspect that God's called us to be. And we'll be talking about how it was the growth was so explosive. He was going all over the place, just having to put out fires that was coming up, and how the Holy Spirit training mission was launched and what his purpose was and how the people were teaching on the Holy Spirit. And finally, New Wine Magazine. Like VFN TV is today, there was a magazine called New Wine Magazine that God used to communicate to everybody. Right now, VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Right now on VFN TV, we're talking again about the Charismatic Renewal Movement. We have one of the leaders, Charles Simpson, right here. It's an impact that touched the whole world, and we're still living off the benefits of that today. We're going to hear some wisdom talking about Brother Charles Simpson is going to be talking about Holy Spirit is the only one that can change hearts. He's going to be talking about this movement called the Manifest Sons of God and how they talked about they would never die. Also, we're going to hear about how the growth was so explosive. So many people were getting born again, and just people were getting saved and getting connected and all that, that he literally was running around just putting fire after fire out because so many things were happening at the very same time. And how finally also the Holy Spirit training mission was launched, how they used that to be trained people in regards to the Holy Spirit and the New Wine Magazine. That was the form of communication at the time, and that was one thing that I believe over 130,000 households have. That's right. Right now, let's join the interview.
Well, another lesson is God has to give them to you.
Right.
Jesus said, "Those whom thou hast given me." And now, a lot of people, I think, try to make disciples in the sense that they aggressively try to grab people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that works.
No.
First of all, the person that allows you to do that's not a very strong person. Mm-hmm. So I think if you are willing to make disciples, you can lead people to Christ and see if God gives them to you to train.
Right.
Now, we're in a Western society. That thought works a whole lot better in the Middle East and East,
right?
Because they have a respect for rabbinical treatment, mm-hmm. and personal mentoring, whereas we don't. We're more.
There's a lot of persecution going on as well towards the church. So you got to really focus.
And it's got to be personal.
Yeah.
Because they can't have a big school or church.
In Iran,
right.
Yeah.
And that's where the church is growing fastest. Mm. So anyway, there's a lot to be said. I think you can't change people. Discipling is not changing people. Changes will come, but the Holy Spirit has to change hearts.
Right. Right.
And I think in my beginning, I thought perhaps that discipling was kind of like cookie stamping. If you put everybody through the same process,
right,
they'd come out looking pretty much the same. And that's not the case.
Nope.
And your job is not to bring conformity. Mm-hmm. Your job is to relate to them and bring out of them what God put in them.
That's good.
And there's a combination between discipling, which is putting in, and coaching, which is bringing something out. And both of those things have to be working. So that's a lesson. One of the hardest lessons for me historically was that I couldn't change people.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard enough to change yourself.
Right. Right.
But God can change people.
Right.
And if he gave them to you, and they're willing, mm-hmm. and you're functioning in the Holy Spirit, there will be a change. There will be a transformation.
Well, character, you know, giftings, can take us places that character can't keep us. And so Holy Spirit's pouring out his awesomeness of who he is, which comes with gifts. So people begin to focus. This has been day one in the church. You can read about in the book of Acts where people start focusing on gifts instead of focusing on character and the Holy Spirit, what's going on. And so, you know, I see when you guys were traveling, and you are now, but just back then, kind of tell the story, you're seeing the gifts, you're seeing, you know, big followings and ministries, you're seeing people invite people to come and speak and minister to them, and they're focused on the gifts, but behind the scenes, you know, y'all noticed, and you're traveling amongst these folks, you realize, my goodness, I think it was it Bob Mumford described it as Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, as like there were one person on the stage, but they had no idea. Maybe it was Baxter, but y'all realized, we got to do something about this, you know, as leaders, that we need to help people in that area become accountable, you know, to encourage one another, and just so we ourselves, you know, make it in this journey that's going on, because pretty much everything was being, you know, if people had a gift, they said, come use it. And, you know, gifts, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, a lot of people are going to exercise gifts. Even the sons of Sceva, right, they exercise for a little bit. But it doesn't mean you know the Lord. It doesn't mean things are right necessarily. He says, you know, in your name didn't we do this and this and this and this? And Jesus says, well, I never knew you, that personal connectivity. So y'all are seeing a need for the teachings and accountability and to help, you know, the church in the charismatic movement, what was taking place. Is that right?
Yes, it is. There are just a lot of issues then. Mm-hmm. And to try to cover them all is mentally challenging. Let me give you one. There was a teaching going around that I would call never die. And there were a number of leaders who were embracing that because we'd been filled with the Spirit, certain ones called the manifested sons of God would never die. Now, again, you've got to realize that a lot of people were being born again and even being baptized in the Spirit that had no biblical background. Mm-hmm. Now, that's dangerous because, as Paul writes his epistles, he's addressing this problem among Gentile Christians. And so I ran into it in 1967, the first time I went to Fort Lauderdale. I roomed with a guy who was a Baptist preacher who had been baptized in the Spirit that was teaching never die. So I just used that. I mean,
is he still alive?
I don't know.
Did he die?
That was a long time ago, right. 67. But I use that as an example. Mm-hmm. There were all kinds of strange things running right. around because the person out there in the audience or in the home group mm-hmm. heard a gift
right.
or somebody who was articulate mm-hmm. or who was charismatic in the natural sense of the
right.
word. And it was a move of the Holy Spirit, so everything had to be of God.
Right.
And so if I come out of a Southern Baptist background and a pastor for 14 years, and sound doctrine had always concerned me, mm-hmm. I would say I was more in the fundamentalist wing of mm-hmm. Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. And graduated from Baptist College and seminary, went to seminary. And I was shocked at the, you see, one thing denominations do, mm-hmm. they help to manage a constituency, and if something needs to be corrected, at least they have the mechanism.
Right.
We were in the Wild West.
Right.
There was no mechanism.
Right.
And so we none of us wanted to be a denomination.
Right.
We had all had experience with denominations. We wanted the larger body of Christ to come together. Mm-hmm. But we knew there had to be some spiritual authority or discernment.
Right.
And so when you begin to teach discipline in a movement that's growing out of disciplines,
right,
that are moving away from denominations,
right,
and whatever discipline they have, it's not a welcome message to a lot of people.
Right.
But we went from zero constituents to 100,000 in 10 years.
Right.
And we were overwhelmed.
Right.
There were a lot of people who wanted discipline. There were a lot of people who wanted Bible teaching. There were a lot of people who were getting into the Word of God and seeing these things.
These are people, too, that came from the hippie movement, that came from
right.
the youth, that came from the Vietnam War. These are people, there was no boundaries at all.
Not at all. Yeah. They come from every group imaginable.
Right.
I would have nuns attend my meetings. Mm-hmm. I would have Unity people attend my meetings. Mm-hmm. You name it. This is in Alabama in 1965. We had interracial marriages attending. Mm-hmm. We had hippies coming.
Back then, that was a big deal. What was the Holy Spirit is drawing everybody.
And people didn't know what to do with it because mm-hmm. that was out of character with mm-hmm. our culture.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we were sorting out and trying to determine, understand how to bring the truth and the kingdom of God mm-hmm. into the lives of people who had known no government. That's why they were in the mess they were in. They
right.
they left family, they dropped out.
Right.
And I mean, when I was still pastoring in Mobile, a Southern Baptist church, we were having people come who only came out at night, and they wore sunglasses then. And we had
right.
addicts, and
right.
we had quite an assortment. And it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I loved it.
It's like the Kanye West today that's
yeah.
coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you find so since they didn't have any discipleship or any biblical knowledge, they're getting saved, but there's no change in their character, no change. They're carrying those same practices. They're still doing what they were doing before they knew the Lord, but now they're doing in the Lord because they haven't been taught.
Yeah, they're, well, it's true. I mean, a lot of them had become born again and mm-hmm. Were on marijuana or some other drug.
Mm-hmm.
They might be living immorally. Mm-hmm. They might be living with someone and not married.
Mm-hmm.
It was a jungle.
So in the middle of that, you're going to speak this plumb line of truth.
You're speaking truth, and amazingly, mm-hmm. they wanted it. At least a lot of them
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
They knew because they were in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they needed instruction.
A true believer is hungry for the bread.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, then when people try to replicate and make disciples themselves,
mm-hmm.
They hadn't gone through the process of being discipled.
Mm-hmm.
They got the word.
Knowledge.
Uh-huh, but they didn't have a guide in the sense that they didn't have somebody who would walk them through it.
Right.
And so maybe they'd be heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was some kind of spiritual abuse that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brings disillusionment
right.
to some people when that goes on. And so you can imagine now something that's gone from a few hundred people into hundreds of thousands of people, and there are problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so I became a firefighter. I flew all over the world
right.
trying to put out fires or
right.
make adjustments until I just decided I couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
It wasn't ever that I looked back on what we taught as being heresy, or mm-hmm. it might have been an error in lack of balance sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we were dealing with a particular situation.
Right.
And I'm glad I was young when I went
right.
through it.
Takes a lot of energy, right?
It'd take your life.
Hey, we're sorry we had to interrupt this interview. We're going to come right back where we left off after this break. Be sure to comment below. We want to hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
The entrance to the Museum of the Bible may be the most photographed museum entrance in Washington, D.C.
Visitors will be welcomed by dramatic 40-foot-high bronze gates emblazoned with Genesis 1 from the Gutenberg Bible, with panels mimicking the Latin, typeset backwards, as it would have been on the Gutenberg press.
A unique piece of art hangs in the lobby, a glass panel displaying Psalm 19 from a papyrus leaf from the museum collections. The Greek text dates to the 3rd or 4th century, a 1,500-year-old manuscript on display inside the museum.
Museum of the Bible invites all people to engage with the Bible in a museum experience unlike anything seen before, all in honor of the Bible. Engage with the book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible, opening in November in Washington, D.C.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So let's backtrack a little bit. Okay, it is, what, 1968, I guess, and 67, whatever the date was. You can tell me what date it is. And you guys are traveling. You're not connected to anything. Y'all are connected to God. You're going out teaching about your charismatic experience, the filling of the baptism, and teaching folks and just doing wonderful. Then this particular ministry births in Fort Lauderdale, and they get filled with the Spirit. They start getting this group of 40 folks together to be able to kind of help them out. They begin to form a few things. They started a magazine called New Wine Magazine, and they started this whole School of the Holy Spirit mission, or Holy Spirit School.
Well, the formation occurred when some charismatic business people and lay leaders got together and decided they needed teaching. Mm-hmm. And so they would meet, I think, 4 times a year and invite noted teachers to come down. And that's how I really got acquainted with Derek Prince and Bob Mumford and Don Basham. We all got invited at one time or another, and sometimes together.
Right. Like anybody who's out speaking gets invited places to go and speak.
And the contagious nature of this, I spoke at the Full Gospel Businessmen's International in Miami in 1967, which mm-hmm. was a big honor, mm-hmm. and there's several thousand people there. Mm-hmm. And it was during that meeting that the leader of the Holy Spirit Teaching Mission, who's also there, comes up to me and said, would you come and speak at a conference that we're having this fall? And so I was honored. I agreed to do so. I didn't know the people. One of the
So this thing was already formed. Holy Spirit teaching mission was already formed. They're just inviting you to come speak.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And it hadn't been formed long. Okay. They were just starting, and they were having maybe 500 to come to a conference, which was good size.
Yeah.
And so one of the leaders was the National Weather Service man out of Miami who did the national weather.
Right. Hurricanes and all that coming in.
Yeah, he was quite well known, later moved to Houston. But there are a number of prominent business people.
Didn't somebody from like the Password game, he produced all that?
Well, he came in later. Okay. He worked for CBS.
Okay.
Okay,
go ahead. Don't forget that.
No. But there were some prominent
right.
business people and lay people. Uh-huh. And so I went there in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, you know, we began to meet one another, the teachers did. And we met each other in other places, too.
Right.
Bob and I taught in the same venue a number of times. Derek and I did. Don and I did.
Right.
So, and I had been with Earn as well in a conference in 1970, I believe. So we were meeting each other outside of Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy in Fort Lauderdale wanted us to help with the magazine. So in the first issue, we were part, and I think the second issue, I had an article.
New Wine Magazine.
New Wine Magazine, mm-hmm. and we were on the editorial board.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a lay leader. He wasn't a pastor or mm-hmm. minister. And he had an innovative idea. He had some financial wealth around him. Shortly, built a TV station, magazine, tape library, a lot of different ministries going mm-hmm. on. So, you know, I'm, I don't know, under 30,
mm-hmm.
and it's an exciting time. You're seeing God do wonderful
right.
things, and you're getting to meet people. The other teachers were older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
6 years or almost 7 years younger than Bob. Bob was younger than the others.
Okay.
And so I felt honored
mm-hmm.
and blessed to see this kind of action. I'd been, you know, locked up in the pastorate for a while.
Right.
And now I'm out seeing God do things in
right.
the world.
It's
this
exciting.
Is wonderful.
Yeah.
With no understanding of the implications when you start something. I tell people if it wasn't for naivety, there wouldn't be any obedience.
That's you so know? True. Oh, my goodness,
yeah,
that's
you,
true.
God leads you out with a word, and you
yeah.
do it. He doesn't explain to you everything that's going to happen.
Right.
And he's with you all the way. But that's when idealism is translated into reality, and that's where you really learn.
Right.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So this formulating that they asked you to begin contributing art editor to the articles.
I was
in the
asked to be a contributor and on the board of directors.
So it just kind of happened. It's not something you were planning. It's just something that.
No, we didn't plan at all. We had none of us planned. Now Derek moved there prior to my moving, and Don moved there prior to my moving. And then later, Bob moved there prior to my moving. And I was the last one to move there, but I moved there after I was on the board of directors.
A lot of people start coming to this school on the Holy Spirit that's been teaching. Is that?
Well, it wasn't a school exactly. It was seminars.
Okay.
Like we'd have 4 a year.
Okay.
And then later, you know, they begin to do regular teachings at a local church,
mm-hmm.
but this is in the early stages.
Okay.
It'd be like spring and summer, fall and winter seminars,
okay.
and they grew to where they were about 1,500 apiece.
Okay.
And you know, Fort Lauderdale is quite a ways
yeah.
from some people to right. travel in those days. That was
really, the bottom down there.
Yeah, and you know, here for the first time, I'm. on the editorial board of a magazine, and I have my picture in there, and it's Dr. Simpson, and I wrote him, I said, I'm not even a nurse, let alone a doctor, but you know, it's right. It's a whole new thing.
Right.
And a lot of wonderful, good things were going on, but none of us were prepared for what really then happened. And we weren't smart enough to plan a movement. We right. were just teachers. And each of us had our own focuses. And I was a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so, but it met a need. I mean, right. the hunger that people had, I haven't seen it since. Mm-hmm. And it's a tragedy that so much of the church has lost its hunger.
I believe it's coming again.
I think so.
That's one of the reasons we're so glad you're here, because you can really impart some wisdom to us and our audience about this is the real, I mean, you walked through it. You saw it. You've seen it. You watched it. You had to try to figure out what to do in it, and you responded, and you saw, you know, good fruit, and you saw some other things that kind of did whatever, but that's the reality. Bright lights attract everything, right?
Every time there's a wave, it picks up debris and moves it to the beach. And that's the way it goes. It's not all pure.
Right.
We think of revivals as being all pure. That's not the case. And sometimes, often, they leave debris in their wake.
Yeah.
And the people that are used of God to bring it into being sometimes are spent and broken. Mm-hmm. Life is not, there used to be a song, life is a dream.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
When, if God uses you in a significant way, you're going to have your battles.
Right.
And that's what makes you strong. That's what builds character.
Yeah.
And that's where you learn lessons.
Right.
You don't learn a lot in your success. You learn a lot in your failure and in trying to walk out the process.
Well, I hate to break into this interview. Listen, we're going to have the rest of this program tomorrow. As a matter of fact, you got to catch us tomorrow. We're going to be talking about how important character is, how important to have spiritual father and accountability. That's right. We're going to continue this interview with Charles Simpson tomorrow. Comment below. We want to hear your thoughts. What have you been thinking? What's crossing your mind as you're hearing about this? We can learn so much from those who have gone before us. You know that? I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing over those that are watching and listening. God, I pray for inspiration. Father God, I pray that you would touch them in the way that you want to touch them with this interviews and these things that are going forth, God, that we could learn from those who've gone before us, Father God. And we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.